There's been a question that has been asked for many, many years, and maybe it's a question that you have. There was a man who asked it nearly 4,000 years ago. And this is what he said. His name was Job. He says, "But a man dieth and wasteth away. Yes, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he?" Where is he? He asks another question just a little bit down. "If a man die, shall he live again?" I want you to turn with me, if you have a Bible, please, to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. These are questions that have been answered for many years. Questions that have been asked and answers that have been given. If a man dies, will he live again? And if he lives, where will he be? There's lots of people that say, "Well, when a man dies, he just dies like a dog." You know, that's really nice for some people to think, because they don't want to be accountable to God. And you see, if we believe in God, and we believe that we are creatures that will live for all of eternity, then we have to be accountable to Him. And there's lots of people that I encounter every single day that don't want to admit that they will live forever. They want to think at a funeral when maybe a casket is rolled up right here, and there's a nice sermon that is given, and we say beautiful things about the person, but that's it. And they're gone. Job asked that question. If a man dies, will he live again? And if he lives, where will he be? Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. This is a scene where the Lord Jesus Christ takes him, as it were, he pulls back the curtain of time. And he allows us to take a look into eternity. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It sounds as though it's a pretty harsh reality. And it is. It's real. But do you know why the Lord Jesus Christ opened that curtain? Because He loves us. He wanted us to see what's beyond. He wanted to answer the question that Job asked. Yes, man will live when he dies. And he will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. This is a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told as He opened up that curtain of time and revealed eternity. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him," that's Lazarus, "to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, Nay, Father, but if one of them But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here we have a scene of eternity. A scene that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. We first see these two men as they lived on earth. We see that they were separated. And there's many things on earth that separate us. And the separation on earth has many different degrees. Maybe you're separated by your social standing. Maybe by the color of your skin. Maybe by the wealth that you grew up in. Maybe it's by your education. Maybe it's by popularity or lack thereof. I don't know what it is that has separated you in life. There's lots of things. But you know, these men here, they were separated. One was a rich man, and one was poor. Now one thing I want to make very clear to you, the Bible doesn't say to us, and the Lord Jesus Christ did not say, that because the rich man was rich, he was unrighteous. And because the poor man was poor, he was righteous. The Bible doesn't tell us that. That's not what determines whether a person is righteous in the sight of God. The common belief of the day is that if you're rich, God has blessed you and you are righteous. If you're poor, God has not blessed you and you're not righteous. This has nothing to do with that. The Lord Jesus Christ would have told us. So our separation here on earth doesn't determine our standing before God. But there was something that definitely separated these two men. It was a choice that they had to make here on earth. And that choice is very evident by the moment that these two men died. You see, the Bible points out to us very clearly that when the poor man died, when the beggar died, he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Heaven. Very clear. What does it say about the rich man? It says that when he died, he was buried. I imagine they had a big funeral for him. I'm imagining all of his friends came to that funeral. Maybe they had another feast once again to remember how good this man was, how rich he was, maybe how much of a philanthropist he was. Maybe he gave lots of money to the community. Surely this man was a great man. Surely he was a righteous man. Surely God would have favor because of what he had done.
What does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us? He says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Torments. Is there life after death? Is it real? There's a verse in Isaiah 14 and 9 that says this, hell is excited at your coming. Hell is excited at your coming.
It simply means this, that the devil and his angels that will inhabit hell, the people that are there, are excited to bring you down, to bring you there.
Is hell a real place? Is there annihilation? Will a person just die like a dog? Let's look at the things that tell us that hell is a real place and people will be absolutely conscious there. He could see. He could look and he could see that there was separation. He looked up and he saw Lazarus, who now had things that were good.
He looked up and said, Father Abraham, there's Lazarus, the one who was at my gate. The one who I had pity on, I took care of him. I gave him food when he was hungry. I saw him there in his sores. Why now is he comforted and I am tormented? If we are in hell, the people who will spend eternity in hell, we will be able to see.
What else do we see about the rich man? He could cry out. he could cry out. He asked if he could just have one drop of water. Torments.
It's gotten pretty hot in the meetings. You know what's nice to go downstairs? There's that little water jug right in the corner of you. You throw it in the door. That's refreshing to get a little water. That's the heat of the room. I'm talking about eternity. A place that we don't talk about right now. A place tonight that I will tell you,
I have uncles and cousins that are in hell tonight. They've been separated. Not just for time, but eternity. There's a conscious awareness. They can see. They can cry out. The Bible speaks of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He could remember. He said, I remember.
I can look back and I remember the good things that I had. The bad things that Lazarus had. And now I suffer. And now I'm separated. I believe tonight that the greatest punishment of the lake of fire will be when a person is in, they will remember and recall over and over again every opportunity they have. Every chance that they had, every time that they heard the gospel, and they said, no, I don't want it. No, tomorrow. No, I'm living my life now, I'm just fine. And they will remember for all of eternity. If a man lives, or if a man dies, will he live? Yes,
he will live. He had no way of escape. It said that there was a great gulf fixed, a great cavern. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, the people that are in hell that want to come to heaven, they cannot. There is no second chance. There is no opportunity when you leave this life to leave the awful place of hell and go to heaven. There will be no prisoners in hell.
Every single person that dies without Christ is in hell because they chose. They chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a great gulf fixed. No escape.
I think of one of the last things that's maybe the most sad thing of all. It's a voice from beneath. And tonight, if we could open up this scene as the Lord Jesus Christ did. If I could let you tonight just glance into the depths of hell and the darkness of it, you would hear many voices like the rich man.
Every one of them would say this. Every single person. Don't come here. Don't come here. It's an awful place. Some people say my friends will be there. There are no friends in hell. There is darkness. There is the torment of your own mind. There is separation from God. For all of eternity.
The greatest thing of all is that God has no intention of you being there. None. That is the gospel. That is the good news. The good news is this, God puts us all on an even plane. There are different things that separate you today in your life. But God identifies every single one of us just like this. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does the glory of God mean? It's His perfect standard. It's His target. And He says, if you are going to be in my heaven, you need to be sinless. God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He cannot tolerate sin. Sin can't be in His presence. And if you have any chance of being in God's heaven, you have to meet Him sinless. If that's the even play that He puts us at, if God says you are all sinners, regardless of your age, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, all have sinned, then we turn to 1 Timothy. It says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Everyone can accept it. What is it? What's the news? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What did He do? He went to the cross of Calvary. It was the first song that we sang tonight. Number 200. Why did He go there? He was accused. He was beaten by Roman soldiers. He was taken and He was nailed to the cross. And He hung between heaven and earth. Completely sinless. Father, forgive me. You see, because of your sin and mine, Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for your sin is death. But the gift of God eternal life is Jesus Christ. What did He do? He went to Calvary. He was nailed to a cross. Roman soldiers did everything they possibly could to Him. And then God darkened the earth for 3 hours. From 12 o'clock noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I like to think that He put His hand between the sun and the earth. Because He was going to do something so horrific, He didn't want anyone to see. And what He did in those 3 hours, which He took every single one of your sins, past, present, and future, and He placed them upon His sinless Son. The only reason Jesus Christ came to earth, He placed them upon Him. And the Lord Jesus bore your sin. He took them. Your wages of sin and death. He said, I will be your substitute. He took your sin. And the God whom our sin is against, He looked at that team and He said, satisfied! I'm satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ said, finished. He paid the requirement that was due to your sin. The requirement that takes us and places us in hell and the lake of fire for all of eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ was taken from the cross. He gave His life. There's books out today that say, who killed Jesus? Nobody killed Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave His life for you. He was placed in a tomb, and 3 days later, He rose again. He's alive. He has the power to forgive sin. He's waiting to forgive you. He's paid the price. Tonight He longs to forgive you. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment. Job asked, if a man dies, will he live again? Hebrews 9:27 says, yes, a man will live again. And we will meet God. Hebrews 10:31 says this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You will die. You will meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Is it going to be a fearful thing or a wonderful thing? I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Redeemer, my substitute. Will you meet Him as a Savior or as your judge? Hell is a very real place. It's not a swear word. It's not a condition here on earth. People use that word very lightly. The Lord Jesus Christ did not. Because He understood that the people that would be there forever, separated from God. Matthew tells us this. Hell was prepared for the devil for His angels. Tonight you have an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
And when you die, and when you live again, you will know heaven as your home, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Accept Him tonight and know Him as your own and personal Savior.